Our scripture today comes from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 34. Listen to the word of the God. But about this day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God. Please pray with me. Giver of all, Giver of all we are, we thank you. Continue to teach us how much we have to offer to each other and to this world. Through Pastor Paul, give us your message so that your love for us may be known. Amen.
As you make your way into like the gift shop of a Cracker Barrel or something, you often find these little trivia things and gifts to share with someone, known as the round to it. Because we go through life and all of us, I know I do, have some things that I'm going to do when I get around to it. And perhaps if I had one of these things in my pocket, I'd actually get it done, because it seems like some things I just never get around to. We'll do the household chores. Our homework, go to the doctor, start saving money rather than spending it, pay off our credit card bills. Change the oil in the car, get some exercise, call that friend when we get around to it. Advent is a season in the life of the church and of Christians where we pay particular attention to something that is in our message throughout the year, which is get around to it. And be purposeful. Today's the first Sunday of Advent. And we are invited in Advent to get around to being prepared for the coming of Christ. Prepared for the coming of Christ that we celebrate in the past event of Christmas, as well as the coming of Christ in His second coming, in the Son of Man, as the coming of the Son of Man as it is referred to in this passage. Because the word Advent comes to us from Latin, and it means the arrival. And when we talk about Advent, we remember that we are talking about Christ's arrival back in Bethlehem, as well as His arrival at a time that we do not yet know. The coming of the Son of Man in a child, and the coming of the Son of Man, the Christ, in all of His glory, a time that many will be unprepared for. Because Jesus here in this passage uses three examples. And I know that I'm a person who has to hear things more than once for them to kind of stick. And evidently that's not a new affliction, because Jesus is providing an antidote to it. He tells three times stories of things that will be unexpected, like the days of Noah. Remember Noah, God told him to build an ark because of the great evil in the world. And Noah and his family were faithful. But Noah's neighbors were going about as if nothing was going to happen. And they were not prepared. They were not ready. They never got around to preparing for what God was about to do. Talks about there will be two in the field. There will be two people at work doing what they always do, and one will be left. There will be two women grinding meal, preparing a third meal, something that happens every day, something totally ordinary, and one will remain. Everything will seem perfectly normal until it isn't. Jesus then contrasts these stories, these illustrations of the unexpectedness of the return with what would happen if you were prepared, if you were waiting, if you knew and you took purposeful action to be ready. Jesus says, you know, if there was a homeowner and you knew a thief was coming, you would be ready and you would prevent the thief. Joyce, are you laughing at the Johnsons? Ken's laughing at himself. But they got broken into just like three times in a short period of time. But if you know the thief is coming, you would be ready and you would prevent it. And this is in contrast to those who were not ready for anything, that were going about their ordinary business when the Son of Man returned. And then all of a sudden everything changed. There's a problem with Scripture, and it's not the problem of Scripture, it's the problem of those of us who read it. And that is that it's tempting to read the Bible thinking it's talking about all those other people. What they need to learn, what they need to hear, what those other people need to do, and so that other people get it right. And we would be misreading it far too often. And in particular, we would be misreading it with this passage of Scripture, because Jesus is not talking to a bunch of sinners. Jesus is not talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the scribes. He's not talking to the chief priests. In this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus is talking to his closest followers. Jesus is talking to the people who know him best. And he's telling them to be ready. Jesus is telling those who already believe he is the Son of God to be ready. Jesus is telling those who have heard him teach many times to put into practice what they have learned. Jesus is telling those that he would later eat the Last Supper with to be ready. This is not a message for our neighbor, our classmate, or boss. It's a message for us. It's a message for me and for you. You know, there's an old story about some junior demons about ready to graduate from some demon Hogwarts type thing. That's a new twist on it. And these three of them come before Satan, and Satan says, "What are you going to do when you get out of here?" And the first one says, "I'm going to tell the people that there is no God." And Satan replies, "That'll never work. Because deep down inside, they know that there is." He turns to the second demon, and the second demon says, "I'll tell people that there's no hell." And Satan goes, "Well, that'll never work. Because deep down inside, they know there is." And the third little demon says, "I'm going to tell people that there's no hurry." Satan goes, "You got it. You'll deceive millions." You know, if you believe Jesus is coming, you think you would be prepared. But for some reason, we feel like there's no hurry, no urgency. That prepared means today and not tomorrow. It means be prepared now rather than when we get around to it. And it's easy to succumb to thinking there's no hurry. Some smart aleck once put out a great bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." If you know the thief is coming, you would be prepared. If you know Jesus is coming, you'd be prepared, is the analogy we're supposed to draw. Because Christmas is coming, we decorate in preparation. What would things be like, though, if we really lived out knowing that Jesus was coming and we were prepared for it? Would shopping or giving be more important? with a grudge we hold on to be more important than the forgiveness that we need? Would the sin that tempts us win, or the Christ who leads us? Will we be caught up in the tinsels and the trapping of the holiday, or the Christ that the holiday celebrates, His birth that changes everything? Because the truth is that most of our preparations often reflect the people of Noah's days, going about life as if today and the next day we're going to be very ordinary, that this Sunday wouldn't be any different than the last Sunday, that it's another Monday and it's followed by another Tuesday. It'll even be another Christmas in a couple short weeks. And for some reason, we even want to make our Christmases today to be like the Christmases of yesterday, as opposed to the Christ who came and is coming again, who makes all things new, who draws us forward rather than telling us to stay in place, let alone go back. People of Noah's days were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving away in marriage until Noah entered the ark and the door was sealed and the rains began. Jesus says they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away. Or did they know, but ignored, and therefore did not know? Will we be ready, or will we be surprised on the day of the Lord? Or will we be like Noah's neighbors? That was the alternate title I was thinking about. Don't be like Noah's neighbors. That's kind of like the message there. Let's just say a prayer, take the offering, go home. Don't be like Noah's neighbors. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying skip the Christmas decorations. I'm saying that Jesus' words in this passage are about being ready to celebrate the true gift of God's only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. That is a Christmas. Because if we put Christ first, we start following to God's order of God's creation and recreation. As we begin to celebrate the Word being made flesh and that dwelt among us, that Christ emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. As we begin to celebrate the God that was way up there being born right among us, right here, that is an amazing Christmas. But when we realize that that's only part of the story, that the Christ that was born in Bethlehem will come again in His glory, that is the celebration and the opportunity that we have. And I promise you that as I grow into understanding and experiencing that, if you join in that process, this Christmas will be different. But I could promise it's going to be better. It's been my experience that most of us know the things that we need to get around to. God's got them somewhere printed on your mind, and you probably feel guilty about them because you haven't gotten around to them despite them being on that to-do list for too long. There's some of those things that are common to all of us, but there's also some that God whispers in your ear and tugs on your heart to do and to be today, to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Because if we believe in and seek to follow Christ, God has placed on our hearts the next step in our walk, in our journey of faith as we follow Jesus. You know, it may involve prayer, scripture, or other spiritual disciplines. It may involve being reconciled to someone. It may be to give of ourselves in new and costly ways. It may be to say no to that alluring temptation that has a hold on us. It may be to offer yourself to God for the first time or as a recommitment, asking Christ into our hearts and giving Him full control. You know, we all want eternal life, but we need to remember that eternity includes today. That being ready is not a day out there. Christ's call to be ready is for this day and right now. If we truly want to be ready for Christmas, we need to be ready for the return of Christ. And the good news is, you're already taking steps of that. Gathering together today to worship the Lord, to pay attention to His call and His word. You may be in here today, some type of priority in your life. And I pray that God will bless you for it. You took a lot of small steps, whether that was setting the alarm clock, getting dressed, driving over here, getting the family ready. And so it is with each and every day. Are we going to wake up saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And that rejoicing and that joy will then direct our day, knowing that this is a day in which God dwells. Because faith is in this very moment. Faith is not about the past. Faith is not just about the future. For the future is decided upon what we do now and what we do today. Faith is taking the next step, knowing that there'll be another step after that. Faith is getting around to those things that God has placed on your heart. Your life will change, and you may not know exactly how it's going to work out. But that's why they call it faith, is taking that step, not knowing what's going to happen. The malls will be crowded on Christmas Eve. Don't ask me how I know. We know Christmas is coming. We even know when Christmas is coming. But how many things do we stall and not get around to until it's a rush or perhaps too late? What about our faith? What about the coming of the Son of Man? Even the angels don't know the day. We are to be ready today and tomorrow and every day. What are we waiting for? We know that Jesus is returning. Are we ready? We call ourselves Christians, but do people see Christ in us? We call Jesus Lord, but what is the next part of our life that He is inviting us to make Him Lord of? We thank God for our many blessings, but in what ways are we a blessing to others? We worship on Sundays and say that's what we do, but God invites us into worshipful living in every day of our lives. We ask God for forgiveness, but do we forgive others? We believe our faith will save us, but do we have enough faith to do that one thing that Jesus has put right before us to do? We celebrate Christ coming as a child, but are we ready for Him to return as Lord? The Bible tells us some great news, that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is a day that we can place our faith in Christ. Today is a day when we can rededicate ourselves to the Lord. And that is God's deepest heart, that we would be His and He will be ours. That today is a day that we can be ready. Today is a day that He has given us yet again around to it and strips us of all excuses. Today, not tomorrow, is the day to be ready. Amen. Amen.